hangovers. There are still some things that we still have that reflect that image of God. And part of that is our human freedom. I think that reflects God's free. And he created us in his image and likeness, free. And Augustine, when he began to talk about free will, said, our human wills were greatly damaged in the fall, but not obliterated. In fact, Augustine said, it takes an act of will just to turn to Christ and call out to him for help. And so in one of his prayers, if you've read the confessions, you know that they are these little personal discourses, personal testimonies, and then at the end of that is always a prayer. And in one of his prayers, he said, Lord, command what you will, and then give what you command. Yeah. I can't obey you on my own. You've got to give me that faith and give me that obedience. Pelagius read that all the way over in Rome and greatly objected to it. And he said, you know, God would not command us. He would not be so unfair as to command us to do something that we couldn't do. And so when Pelagius began to construct his anthropology, his doctrine of man, and his harmoniology, his doctrine of sin, when he began to construct that, he was almost the exact opposite of Augustine. Augustine believed in original sin. And he said, there are two things that we inherit from Adam. We inherit, number one, a fallen, sinful human nature. David was talking about that when he said, I was born in sin. I was born in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That's the importance of comparing Scripture with Scripture. Romans 5 with Psalm 51. We've inherited from Adam that fallen, sinful human. Did you ever notice when you were raising your kids, you didn't have to teach them to sin? Just came by nature. Just by nature. Augustine went so far as to say, not only did we inherit that fallen, sinful human nature from Adam, but we actually inherited Adam's guilt, because we were in Adam genetically. Now, when you ask Augustine, how is sin transmitted? If it's inherited, how is it transmitted? He will say seminally. Today, we'd say genetically. It's in your fallen, Adamic, human DNA. And he said, so therefore, that's one of the reasons why Augustine baptized babies. Because he thought that, and by the way, let me say, it's real easy to get enamored with these theologians. But I always tell my students, don't buy into any one of those things 100%. Because you buy into Augustine and say, oh, that's just wonderful. And no doubt he's one of the greatest minds that Christianity ever produced since the Apostle Paul. I don't know that anybody's ever equaled him since. But there's some things about which he's wrong. How do you know that? Check the Bible. And one of the things he was wrong about was baptism washing away sin. Very, very clear in the Bible, particularly in the book of Acts, that salvation comes by grace through faith, and then your baptism is just an acknowledgement that your sin has already been washed away. It's a dramatization of it, that you have died with Christ, that you've been buried with Christ, and that you're raised to walk in newness of life. It's not the water that does that, it's the Spirit that does that. And the same Bible that talks about water baptism talks about Spirit baptism. That's what happens when you're saved. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit when you're saved. I don't believe, like the Pentecostals do, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience. I think it happens at conversion. Now, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is something else. You know, real interesting. You look in that book of Acts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an unrepeatable event. This is why the Hebrew writer says if you ever lost it, you couldn't get it back. You know, and I don't think he was teaching that we lose it, but he was showing how terrible it is to believe that you could lose your salvation because you couldn't get it back. Christ would have to die again for you to get it back. And he's not going to die again. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is a repeatable event. That term, filled with the Holy Spirit, is used, I think, 9 times in the book of Acts. And most of the time, it's the same people over and over again that are being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a repeatable event. You know, prior to, I tell my young preacher boys out there, you need to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit before you preach every time. It's a repeatable experience. If you're going to witness to somebody, you need to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit to help you witness to somebody. I used to teach evangelism in the churches that I pastored. I taught personal evangelism to my leaders. I always used to get the biggest kick out of it. My goodness, I used verses that I didn't even know I knew. Well, how? The Holy Spirit had filled them and was guiding them and speaking through them in that. And so you've got Augustine praying, Lord, command what you will and give what you command because I can't do it by myself. And you've got Arminius saying, oh, no. Oh, no, God wouldn't command anything. It wouldn't be fair if he commanded us to do something we couldn't do. Well, God's not into fairness. Don't go there. If God were fair, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. We'd all be in hell if God were fair. That's what would be fair. Grace is a marvelous correction to fairness. God's just, yes. Is he fair? No, he doesn't get into fairness. You can't bargain with God. You might think when you read the book of Job that you can argue with God, but you better be a Philadelphia lawyer if you're going to argue with God, because I finished up Job this morning in my daily Bible readings, he repents, not because of some terrible thing that he did that brought on all of his trouble, but because he had blamed God for it. And he says, I repent. I take back everything I said. I repent. And God restored to Job everything that he lost times two. Amazing to look at that. And one of the things Job prayed was, oh, that my words were written down somewhere. There they are. You know, right here. God, does God answer prayer? He answers prayer. He does that. Now, you know, Pelagius believed that every child was born in the same way that Adam and Eve were created, born completely innocent. And next week, we're going to look at, we're going to go into this Romans passage and look at that difference between that. You bring another name into this now. You bring the name of Arminius. Ruby said, by the way, Ruby fixed up those little things on there. I said, are you sure you want to do that? Because that means you got to do it every week, you know, if you're going to do that. But she said, well, you've misspelled Arminian. It's spelled with an E. I said, no, Arminian is spelled with an E if you're from Armenia. But Arminius is spelled with an I. That was his name, you know. He was a Reformation and post-Reformation theologian. And we'll talk about next week what each of them said they inherited from the Lord. But today, there it is in verse 1. What ought to be our attitude toward our sins? To cry out to God for mercy. To cry out to God to blot them out. To cry out to God to wash us. To cry out to God to cleanse us. To purge us, to restore the joy of our salvation, to create in us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit within me, and not to cast me away from his presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to live as we ought to live. All right, put a comma there, and we'll pick it up there next week, the good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.